Good afternoon. This is Monday, October 6, 2025. This is the regular meeting of the Borough Assembly. Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Vice Mayor Marsh.
Here.
Member Newman.
Here.
Member Schwartz.
Excused. Nope, sorry, he's here.
Oh, you're still
muted. Oh, we can't hear you.
You're on mute.
You muted yourself there, Rob. There you go.
Can you?
Yeah, okay. We got you now.
Thank you.
Got you now, okay.
Member Stanton Gregor.
Excused.
Member Lynn.
Here.
Member Valentine.
Here.
Thank you.
Time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next, could I get approval of the minutes for the September 15, 2025 meeting, please?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks. Next, could I get a motion to approve the the meeting agenda as presented, or are there any amendments?
I'll move to approve the agenda as it stands.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We don't have any public hearings today, and we do have one bid award, and that is for the award recommendation for the Scow Bay Generator 2 design build. Utility Director Hagerman requests approval to award the Scow Bay Generator 2 design build to Dawson Construction LLC for the price of $768,330. A memo from Director Hagerman with the bidder information for the August 5, 2025 bid opening is attached to this meeting packet. Could I get a motion, please?
I move to accept this award for the Scow Bay Generator 2 design to Dawson Construction.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes.
Lynn.
Yeah, if we could have Director Hagerman, we talked about having, I know we have a kind of a preliminary design on it, but what's the two questions, I guess. The first one is what do we need to do to come to the final design? And then what are we looking at for construction on it? And then you also said, I believe, that you thought there were going to be additional costs. If you would address, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, through the mayor, happy to answer those questions. So the action in front of the assembly today is the award of a design build contract where we are recommending that Dawson Construction be given a contract. They will design the project. Right now we're at a 30% level. They will take that 30% to 95% using engineers that they hired, and actually the engineer that they're proposing is the same engineer we used for the 30%. So there's some continuity there. Once we get to that 95% design, they will take that design and go through a very detailed cost estimate on what it would take to build that design. And that will result in a contract modification to basically hire Dawson to build that design. So this this award today of $768,000 will give us the final design on the project. It will has an allowance for some heavy moving to position the generator, which is 135,000 pounds. And also there's an allowance for commissioning the project when the construction is done. But all the construction will be accounted for in a contract modification that should occur somewhere right around February, March of 2026. With a goal of construction starting right around April, and then final completion of the project in October of next year.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that information, Director Hagerman. Okay, seeing no other discussion or questions, clerk, please call the roll.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Lynn?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Marsh.
Thank you. That motion passes. Next, we have persons to be heard related to the agenda. Anyone wishing to share their views on any item on today's agenda may do so at this time. If you wish, please come forward, state your name, and remember a 5-minute time limit. Seeing none, is there anyone on, oh, yes?
Related to the agenda?
Related to the agenda. Okay, please step forward.
Hi, I'm Micah Klein. I live at number 3 Libby Lane. And I wanted to talk about Tidal Network is zooming in, I understand, with to answer questions about public concerns over the proposed tower. Mm-hmm. I have some concerns. I'm a tribal member. My children are tribal members, and my kids go to school in the daycare that would be right between the existing tower and a new tower that goes up. I have concerns because these are the first generations of children that are exposed to RF radiations and EMFs, all that. I'm not super savvy on the differences of all of them. But these are the first children that are exposed from conception to the grave. And we don't really know. And for every study someone can cite saying that there is no harm, there's a study you can say find that is saying that there is harm. The FCC has a long history of only changing policy once harm is done. They've been sued numerous times for their regulations on EMF and RF exposure limits, and due to they are failing to consider evidence of harm to children from 5G and wireless radiation to animals. There's numerous lawsuits that have gone that have forced them to change regulations, which leads me to still not completely trust that basing safety on those regulations and how new this technology is over the course of people's lifespans, especially developing young children, is, I don't think, a very good argument for saying that this is a safe and good place, especially when these services for internet and connectivity are already available in this area. And to say that maybe people are underserved, there are grants that serve people of low income or different demographics that cover the cost of getting them access to reliable and good internet. POW has multiple communities that have that grant. So I just don't think that putting another tower right adjacent to another one in a residential area where over 100 people work per day, there's an assisted living facility. This residential area is growing. And there's a child care center, and we don't know the long-term effects of children being exposed in that close of proximity to multiple sources of these RF waves. And I would really like the assembly at some point to consider some code language to protect residents and children from these types of things in the future. And I think a good start would be to ask Tidal Network to reconsider the location of this tower, because by them not having this tower here is not going to deprive anyone of service. I think that's pretty much everything I have, but I just honestly think that this is a poor decision, and we shouldn't wait to be reactive to the effects that this may or may not have on our kids. But I honestly think that there is enough independent published research out there that shows that there are effects on children, animals, people, and the environment. So I would ask Tidal Network to rethink the position, the placement of this tower, and I hope that the assembly will back that point of view and protect our kids and our residents.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on that? Okay. Thank you. How does that work? Do we need them up for the record, being on the record?
Be on the record, Darcy.
Sure.
Okay. I'll just write Darcy on the record in support of. And we do have a hand raised, Member Schwartz.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, I've got my own distrust issues, you know this, but I've had enough. I'm down here in California now. We're trying to heal up from the surgery, but I've had enough phone calls, texts, and emails that in regard to this particular issue, there's parents that are concerned about their children, which, as far as I'm concerned, it's God's greatest gift that he gives to us. So I'd just say be prudent here. I personally need more information before I'm in favor of
Member Schwartz. Member Schwartz, Member Newman actually pointed out that this was comments from the audience.
Oh, I see.
So thank you for that correction, Member Newman. Yeah. Anyone else in the audience?
I agree.
Okay.
I agree with Micah.
All right. Thank you. Okay, next item is persons to be heard on items unrelated to the agenda. Is there anyone in the audience with views not on today's agenda may share those views? Seeing none, anyone else? Okay, moving on, we have boards, commission, and committee reports. We don't have any of those. The next item is consent agenda. The 420 retail marijuana store license renewal is up, and the 420 has applied with the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office to renew their retail marijuana license. AMCO has determined that the application is complete. A local governing body may protest the renewal within 60 days of the notice of filing the application. Could I get a motion, please, to approve this renewal license?
I move to renew the 420 retail marijuana store license.
Second.
Any comments or discussion? All right, clerk, would you please call the roll?
Vice Mayor Marsh?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Lynn?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. Next, we have a report of other officers. Petersburg Medical Center, Hofstetter, or CEO Hofstetter, will update the assembly on medical center activities. Mr. Hofstetter.
Hi there. Good afternoon. Phil Hofstetter, Petersburg Medical Center CEO. I submitted my report, and just a couple of updates. One is I went to the annual conference for Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association in September, and a big focus of that meeting really is to discuss the education bill, which we are still working through with the state. A lot of the conversation and the structure and the submission of the healthcare transformation bill, the state is required to submit that in November. And we'll know more information on how that funding gets rolled out. But one of the takeaways from the conference was that the hospitals agreed to work together closely, and they're going to closely work with the state so that we can make sure that that money is spent, responsibly and succinctly throughout that opportunity, which is 5 years. It's a 5-year opportunity of funding. It's pretty complex. It requires a partnership with the CMS, which is the federal side, and that's where the plan has to come together. And there's also a sort of a block grant that comes through on the state side. So there'll be potentially some opportunity. Obviously, I'll be advocating strongly for infrastructure, which is limited on the federal side, but potentially not on the state side. So we'll have more information related to that. And the second thing is our work building up the hill. We are getting ready to wind that down. The remaining parts of that lot were complete related to the back end, which is the extension of the wellness drive to the ball field there, which was completed recently, and also just sort of safety parameters. We had a retaining wall that was put up and then some rock against the cliff there, so that is sort of not an area where there can be a concern or a hazard. And so we just want to make that site as available as possible. That's not a construction site going forward. So we're still getting things online. We had our AV equipment finally get online last week, and we're slowly going to be extending those processes to the community. Our certificate of need for the MRI is still pending at the state, so we're waiting on that. To get that online. So getting there, just slowly working on that. All right, any questions?
Yeah. Got one. So regarding this 5-year funding, do you know any types of dollar amounts that might be?
It could be, depending on how, my understanding of it, depending on how the funding gets allocated, it could be upwards of $100 million, potentially more per year, and there's 2 years to spend it down. So, you know, it almost seems like the problem is how you spend that down and then what the regulations are around how you spend it. And so on the federal side, they're limiting infrastructure, limiting technology, for example, which are, those could potentially be good spends on spending down that funding. So how does the state manage and spend that funding down? It may be an issue. So that's one of the reasons why at the association, we're like, we want to make sure that we're all working together, that we have a single-minded vision, and that we're working with the state on making sure that we can come together on those solutions so we don't lose, you know, have any funding left on the table. Because the idea is to set up your healthcare transformation, because there's a you know, the Medicaid reduction coming down the line as well for the next 10 years. So we have to balance, you know, what healthcare looks like as a statewide level, and how does that offset potential funding reductions with the Medicaid or restrictions, I should say, for the Medicaid allocation.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Any other questions? Member Lynn.
Phil, I've been asked a couple times about the MRI, and I know we need a certificate need. Do you have any idea, you know, talking publicly about when that might be operational and what the thought process is?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a lot of support around that. It's good that we're not aligned, because there's a few things that on the mechanicals and software side that had to be worked, that had to work through. Good example is when the power goes out, you know, that thing still has to be operational. So working through some of those things. I would say safely in December, January is when we would start seeing, optimistically end of November, cautiously probably January, end of December. December is a hard month because of a lot of the holidays and stuff. But, you know, so cautiously, I would say December, January, getting that online. So we'll, you know, we have to go through a number of volunteer, you know, to make sure that the processes are good and safe and all that stuff and in compliance. So, yeah, so it's certainly, it's certainly a process.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But we want to do it properly and safely.
Thanks. Yep. Appreciate it.
Any other comments from assembly members or questions? Okay, thank you, Mr. Hofstetter.
Thank you.
All right, next we have the Forest Service District Ranger, who is not in attendance today due to any number of reasons. And next we have the Petersburg School District, Superintendent Taylor.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Robin Taylor, the superintendent for the Petersburg School District. Hopefully around 3:30 yesterday, your ears were ringing with fire truck and noise. Our students, our cross-country team won the state championship again, 2 years in a row on the men's side, and our girls took third. So a wonderful celebration to see the hard work and their efforts pay off. We have just a lot of activities going on at the school district right now, so appreciate the support of the community for our students. I wanted to give a brief update on the roof repair project. It is still ongoing. They are working now on the flat roof over the art room and the culinary classroom. With these rains, we still have had leaks that they're working through as they're trying to repair the roof. And they believe they'll be done with that by this week, and then moving on to the gymnasium roof. So as of right now, with all the little final bits and pieces they have to do, they're hoping the end of October, but we'll see. So we are making grounds. I do want to put another plug out there. We are still looking for staff members. We are short-staffed, specifically in our support staff. So if people are looking for some employment opportunities, we are certainly open to engaging in those conversations. The statewide Alaska Star spring results from last spring have been shared. They've been mailed home to families for the secondary end of the buildings, and then they were hand-delivered at parent-teacher conferences on Thursday and Friday. So if anybody by the end of the week does not have those results, please just notify the school and we'll help track down maybe where they're at or get you an updated a secondary set. We did receive information as to where Petersburg landed among all the districts in the state, and proud to note that Petersburg, as a district as a whole, for grades 3 through 9 testing, we placed in the top 10 of districts in the state. In English language arts, overall grades 3 through 9, we placed 10th overall, and then in mathematics, we placed 7th overall. And I was pleased to note that when you look at the graph that I'll be sharing out in the next week or two in my newsletter, the Southeast communities as a whole really are performing academically strong compared to counterparts across the rest of the state. So it's really a nice thing to see as to how well Wrangell and Skagway and Haynes are performing. We're very consistent with each other. And then the last thing I wanted to point out is that it is National School Principals Month, and all administrators work extremely long hours to support the entire educational program from when the students enter to when they leave, the academics, staffing, activities. So just when you get a minute, please send a thank you, if you can, to any of your administrators. And with that, we will get to be celebrating on Saturday. Jamie Cabral has been named the Region 5 Assistant Principal of the Year. So he will be receiving that award at the Principals Conference on Saturday.
So. Thank you. Any questions from the Assembly? Thank you, Superintendent Taylor. Okay, next we have Title Network Communications Tower Report.
Good morning. My name is Ajana Ware. I'm the project manager for Title Network. For those who are unaware, Title Network is a department within Tlingit and Haida designed to bring broadband infrastructure to Southeast Alaskan communities, remote or otherwise. I understand that we had some questions just this morning regarding our towers. They're not here. I wish they were still here. But I want to start off by saying, while I do work for Title Network, I'm also a new mother myself. I have an infant. He's 4 months old, and I live hundreds of feet from this tower. I'd say that I've done my due diligence regarding RF and EMF, and it's been determined that these towers do not emit higher levels of radio frequency than many of the things that we see in our day-to-day lives. I hope it's okay. I have a handout that I'd like to hand out. Yeah, Adam, can you pass it out to everybody? So this handout speaks specifically to EMF. On that handout, you'll see UV rays, X-rays, microwaves, cell phones, Bluetooth. These all emit higher levels of EMF than a cell phone tower does. I hope you did receive all of our documentation. Thank you so much for those questions that you sent us. I did want to answer the first question that you sent that we have not responded to regarding the federal grant of our program. I do want to note that just because we are grant funded, we did receive TBCP funds, excuse me. GCI and AP&T received BEAD funds. That's also federal funding. Just because we're grant funded, it doesn't mean that our telecommunications infrastructure is not open and available for use. Our goal is to expand coverage. For those who are aware, I'm sure everybody in this room is, of the incident that happened in the Narrows 2 summers ago, where there was a passing of a visitor in Petersburg because they were not able to get in contact with the Coast Guard. Draw back my words. There's no way to determine if this person's life would have been saved, but I want to push that telecommunications infrastructure and access to cell services is detrimental to the community. I think it's important what we're doing, and granted, our tower is, you know, not too far from the SBA tower that is, yes, near the Children's Center, near the Manor, near the grocery store, places that we visit every single day. But this is a common occurrence. Cell phone towers close to each other just means expanded coverage. I do want to answer your other questions, but I'm going to hand that over to Jesse Rico, who's on the call. He's our RF engineer consultant.
Mr. Rico.
And hey, this isn't Mr. Rico, but this is Trevor. I do believe Jesse may need to be let in to be able to put himself off mute. Is that possible to do?
Yes, he's been unmuted.
Perfect, thank you. And sorry for interrupting.
Hello, and thank you very much. Just a quick moment for an audio check. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Hi, perfect. Well, then to speak to the second question, which was kind of in result of just kind of seeking information on where to find analysis of service area number one. These studies were conducted and have been internal, so nothing else publicly available. And then there was also kind of notes about location specific, like perhaps Crystal Mountain or Lindenburg. So there was, you know, we're always happy to hear suggestions. And we've evaluated the existing telco infrastructure, including some of the nearby mountaintops. And while some existing infrastructure locations provide coverage to some areas, it does not fully complete the coverage needed inside of the intended coverage area. I think that's really kind of the extent of those questions. If I'm happy to respond to any further inquiry.
Member Valentine has a question.
From my understanding of Tidal Network here, you guys are creating your own network, right? Creating your own internet, cell phone service, correct?
Not cell phone service. It's just broadband Wi-Fi at home.
Broadband Wi-Fi at home.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is brand new to Southeast Alaska.
Yes.
So with that in mind, and what Jesse had alluded to was that you need something in town in order to make it feasible for the town to actually use, right? So if we're talking about the Narrows incident, really that I don't think that should even be brought up because it's not an expansion of an existing service, GCI, ACS, AP&T, because you're trying to make your own, right? So if that was the case of an expansion, you'd want to put it, I would assume, closer to Papke's. So I'm just actually just kind of talking out loud. Okay. So just I wanted to make sure I understood that this is brand new. You guys are creating your own network, and that is the goal, is what you guys are trying to achieve.
Not our end goal. So this Petersburg One site on Haugen is just one of three sites that we're going to be building here in Petersburg. We've already began land acquisition in another parcel. We call that Petersburg Four. That's out by the Narrows, and it would be meeting that coverage gap in the Narrows. The Rangers have really described the Narrows as kind of like a blackout area. We are not only providing service from Tidal Network. We're able to lease space on these towers. We've already been in communication with GCI. GCI has been in communication with AT&T to haul them onto our towers as well. So that would mean increased cell coverage.
Yeah. So could you not lease their tower that's already existing? I mean, they could go both ways, right? So there's an obvious concern of the public. We're just like, you know what? We already have one here. We already have really good service in town, mm-hmm. right? If Tidal Network is new, they want to help these existing things. Also, you know, for, you know, me to leave GCI, for example, to come to you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be said the same where y'all lease out what's already existing here, but help expand onto the Narrows and wherever else. I don't see why that couldn't be an option for you guys here.
That has absolutely been something that we've considered, specifically pertaining to the SBA tower next to the manor in the Clinton Haida Regional Housing area. We have determined internally that leasing isn't, you know, our end goal. Our goal is to provide infrastructure that, you know, Clinton Haida has built. I also do want to mention that the SBA tower has it's been there for quite a while, right? I can't say exactly how much lifetime is left within that tower, but with us building additional infrastructure, it's It is to bridge a gap. I can't speak to the specs comparing one tower to another, but having two towers next to each other, it hasn't shown to show any adverse effects. It's really just expansion of coverage.
I feel as though the end, when we keep saying end goal, the end goal is to, you know, build these infrastructures, you know, da 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 da. But we already have, you know, Sitka already went through it with you guys, and we're going it through here. Mm-hmm. Is that the end goal really is to have customer satisfaction, because this is a new thing. You want people to buy in, and a lot of people in town are very much against it, right? So mm-hmm. I feel like that should be a much higher on your need of your quote unquote end goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you take a small hit of leasing the GCR or whoever's tower that is up there, but you expand elsewhere, I think you'll have more community support behind that.
Yeah.
And I think that should be considered in your end goal and what you keep alluding to.
I appreciate that comment. I will pass it on to the rest of the team.
Thank you.
Yeah, Member Lynn.
Let me back up to a couple questions that were asked. Did I hear correctly that you did consider those other towers and you rejected all those towers that are in existence?
Not so much that we rejected them. It was just the SBA tower. I do have some team members on that could speak a little bit more about that. I'm sure they'd be happy to share additional input that we, our due diligence in.
And particularly the ones here in town. And then I guess, I'll ask the other two questions and you folks can. The other one is that what other options did you look at in town, and is there another option, going back to a question that Member Valentine asked, that I think probably needs to be looked at maybe a little bit more?
Yeah, of course. Trevor, do you mind taking that question?
And let me just repeat that. The question was, any other options in that vicinity? Was that the question?
Or yeah, that was part of the question. Or that another option would be, is there another place that would do the same coverage but not have the same concerns to the public?
Yeah, and you know, I think Angel's kind of already hit on why, you know, the SBA tower probably wasn't a good option for us. And I think the best way I can answer this for this particular zone would be, you know, redundant infrastructure is generally a good thing. You know, Asia alluded to, you know, towers do have lives, and you know, there are a couple reasons why the SBA tower doesn't work out for us, but really what we're getting here off Haugen is, you know, a piece of key new critical communications infrastructure that sure will support Tidal Network day one with their goal of providing fixed wireless broadband to the community where currently there is none. We have a coverage gap of the entire community, but also providing yet another home and a future home in the event the SBA tower ever gets decommissioned for any sort of public safety applications. And we've, you know, discussed that with the fire department actually about them putting some equipment on this tower, and not to mention other carriers like your GCIs, Verizons, and what have you. And then, you know, I've heard a few things related to, you know, being in a residential area, et cetera, you know, and I would assert, you know, we are in public land, and we are surrounded by commercial one and commercial two land. So in a way we do have a pretty good buffer from residential areas. So I think this location for all those reasons is a pretty good one for this particular area. And you know, not to mention, you know, a chance for, you know, I'm repeating myself a little bit here, but Petersburg to get another piece of infrastructure at no expense while also, you know, making money from the land transaction as well. So I don't know if that answers your question, and then Asia, please feel free to elaborate, but that's what I would say to that.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments?
A question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Member Newman.
You said you're building, what you want to build four, you have four locations, is that correct?
Three
locations, yes. So one is, you know, up by the ferry, you know, by the fire department. Where are the other two going to be located?
Yeah, so the second one is on Mill Road. That covers the Petersburg 2 zone area. I can get coverage maps to you if you'd like. And then Petersburg 4 is out on Rory Road, I believe, also called the Flower Farm. And that covers that entire area. And I can, again, get coverage maps to you as well.
Okay. So are those other two locations, they already have towers, you're going to be co-located with them, or you're developing those or building those towers?
We're building those towers and providing leasing space to other carriers.
And then I have a question, I think, for Trevor. In your experience, do you know, or do you guys own, or do you know of any location where there are this number of towers in close proximity to each other? Because it seems like this is a really concentrated area.
I don't know that I could just pull a city in the United States out right at this moment, but yes, in my experience, I've certainly seen this. You know, really, that's just a coverage density equation that you have to solve. And, you know, probably speaking for Jesse a little bit here, but Southeast is a very unique terrain, of course, as we all know. I mean, the land's divided and cut by mountains all the time, which makes tower placement even more strategic and key to get a whole community covered because you have so many natural barriers. So I'm happy to go pull some communities or pull some data for you where there is that kind of densely located and spacing of towers. And as Asia mentioned, we kind of have those coverage maps and zone maps that kind of delineate that. But it is common at the same time.
I have other questions, but I got to wait. I have to think about this. So thank you.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. One, that the questions, the additional questions, where can we find the information? You say you've done thorough analyses on these. I'm wondering where we can see, where the public can look at these reports. Secondly, there is a website, and if I could, I'll look it up in just a sec, but I think it's wisdm.ai that has cell phone or cellular coverage based on location that you can pinpoint your area and see where the coverage gaps are, and it will give you a rating of good, fair, and poor. Maybe even excellent is also another one of the categories. And I'm wondering if you have done those because, yeah, I'm thinking it's, I didn't realize you had two other towers with Mill Road and Roy Road going up. That seems really high concentration of these towers. And I am very concerned about the public response to this. I haven't encountered anybody who's entirely, who's 100% in favor of it. They are concerned about the health ramifications because this is so new, such a new technology. Mm-hmm. Secondly, actually, I did want to address the tower up, the SBS tower.
SBA.
SBA, thank you. That's only like 15 years old because that subdivision is new and it went in around that same time. What's the lifespan of a tower?
I do want to hand those over to Trevor again. Okay. We did talk a little bit about this, but you know, he's the expert in the field whenever it comes to these things, but that's what we have Trevor and Jesse for.
Yeah, and I'd hate to give this sort of answer, but you know, I'd have to go look at exactly, you know, the exact tower engineering drawings to know for certain, but you know, 30 to 50 year windows are not uncommon.
So one being 15 years old isn't that old.
Yes, I can agree that it's 15 years old.
All right. Are there any other questions? Okay, Member Schwartz, you good? Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming and the questions and the information you presented.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you for your time.
Okay, moving on, we have a mayor's report. Let me get to that real quick. Mayor's report for this date, October 6th. Election day is tomorrow, October 7th. Vote in person at the Parks and Rec Activities Room at 500 North 3rd Street between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Please bring your identification. Canvassing the election, the Petersburg Borough Assembly will hold a special meeting on Friday, October 10, 2025 at 12 noon to certify the results of the October 7, 2025 municipal election. The public is invited to attend in person or via Zoom. Go to the calendar on the borough website to join the meeting via Zoom. For more information on the election, go to www.petersburgak.gov and click on the orange banner at the top of the screen. Okay, moving on from there, we have, flipping pages, manager's report. Manager Giesbrecht.
Thank you, ma'am. Property tax payments are due into the office here by 4:30 p.m. on October 15th. Payments can be made online, by phone, or in person at the Borough Finance Office. Reed Brothers is on site constructing the shed roof on the dock adjacent to the harbor office. And the harbor has approximately a dozen vessels that want to winter over in Petersburg, so staff is actively monitoring permanent stallholder schedules to sublet stalls that are empty during the winter months. Rainforest Contracting is working on the concrete pad for the scow bay generator so that the generator can be moved into position and a temporary structure erected around it for the winter. Power and Light will open bids for the 11K volt indoor switchgear for the scow bay project on October 9th. And thanks to the Power and Light line crew for their work to restore power to the only neighborhood affected by the recent storm. I appreciate that a lot. Power and Light is working with Southeast Conference and Alaska Heat Smart to support the ACES, Accelerating Clean Energy Savings Program in Petersburg. Watch the borough's website for more information soon. Streets crew removed a dangerous tree from the 600 block of Sandy Beach Road right away and responded to various emergencies from last week's storm. NC Machinery has completed repairs to the transmission and steering on the grader. We anticipate this unit back in Petersburg on October 23rd. We still have some garbage bears that are active, and we are continuing our public education campaign to encourage folks to keep garbage secured as required by borough code. We also have bear straps for garbage cans at Public Works. These are available to sanitation customers free upon request. Pat Blair and friends of the Petersburg Bike Park have filled a 20-foot container with scrap aluminum and has been sent out to be recycled. Sanitation staff are clearing the area of some misplaced steel scrap to create more room for Pat's continued recycling efforts. Troubleshooting and repairs to the remote door locks at the police station are ongoing, and we've completed the preseason maintenance on the Baylor's used oil heating system in preparation for winter. Triennial dam inspection has been completed, and both dams have been certified for continued use. And work continues on Pump Station 4 and the Force Main upgrade project. The floor for the control building has been poured. Mattingly Electric continues working on conduit runs for the new building and in between the building and wet well. Survey on the outfall line for wastewater was completed on 9:30. Photos and videos have been sent to the engineer to enable them to design a repair plan. Chief Kerr attended the annual CCAD conference during the MITA HIDA, which is High Intensity Drug Task Force. Area announced increased funding to the task force, but the amount Alaska HIDA will receive is not yet disclosed. Pump testing was performed on the fire apparatus. Engines 2 and 4 passed with no issue. Engines 6 and 8 were able to meet minimum standards but had issues with leaks and priming devices. Aaron and Ryan will work with Motor Pool to see what can be done, and thank you to Sam for helping rebuild some of the pipe for our testing equipment. October 6th through the 10th is Learn Not to Burn Week. The volunteers will be at the elementary school distributing info to the students about fire safety. Fire department is asking Scow Bay users to not park inside the training area behind the station. There's a posted sign up. Aaron Hankins has also done setting up the fire department's new online training program. This platform is designed to help augment our current training and onboarding program, as well as track volunteer training hours to ensure compliance with the state. Fire Marshal Weldy, Chief Bird, and two other volunteers recently attended the state fire conference in Sitka. And Parks and Rec would like to extend a huge thank you to Public Works and PIA for their assistance with storm damage to the ball field and trail systems. Thank you to the community for staying safely out of the way while these teams worked on the areas. Please reach out to Becky Turlin if you can assist with the repairs of the ball field. Community efforts make a huge difference. We still are having some problems with the broken actuator for the heat in the leisure pool. Please forgive us for the varying temperatures. Thanks to our ground crew, summer help, Katie Anderson and Xander Jones for all your wonderful assistance this year. Your help with Daniel made our park so beautiful. And the library has added access to NewsBank, a comprehensive resource that provides access to thousands of newspapers, magazines, and news sources, including many Alaska publications like the Anchorage Daily News and the Juneau Empire. It's free with a valid library card. To begin using the service, visit the Petersburg Library website. This service is made possible with a grant from the Atwood Foundation to the Alaska Library Network. And that's everything on my report.
Are there any questions? The manager. I do have one, and that was regarding the HIDA task force. I'm wondering if that funding might be addressed. Chief Kerr, do you have additional information?
So as far as HIDA, when we attended the CCAD meeting, that's where the money comes from. It comes from HIDA. They give it to the state of Alaska, and then that's how CCAD gets funded, is through the pass-through. They were talking about the increased funding through the One Big Beautiful Bill. It hasn't been determined exactly how much Alaska is going to get, but they talked about expanding programs and different opportunities that could be opened up with this additional funding.
Do you have a timeline? Is there like a timeline?
They didn't tell us.
Okay.
And then another thing I'll just address, as far as the door locks that were talked about at the PD, we think we found out what the problem is. One of the heat pumps in the server room somehow was leaking the condensation and went down the wall and got on one of the phone. It's like this, I don't know, it's this brick looking thing with all these little metal connectors. And when we pulled it off the wall, there's corrosion all over the back, and all the locks that we're having issues with are all connected to that one block. So we talked to Procom, and they're getting us a quote together to replace that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, any other questions? Thank you. Okay, we don't have any unfinished business today, but we do have a few items for new business. The first one is Nordic Real Estate sublease application. Nordic Real Estate has applied to sublease a portion of Lot 44A, Skylark 2 subdivision, plat 90-14, parcel ID 01-010-737. Nordic Real Estate, the current lessee of the parcel, requests approval to sublease a portion of the property to the Roundtrees for purposes of a walkway to their residence. Their proposed sublease agreement is attached to this meeting packet. Could I get a motion, please?
Make a motion to approve the sublease application with Nordic Real Estate.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, clerk, please call the roll.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Marsh?
Yes.
Member Lynn?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes. Next, we have H.R. 1, One Big Beautiful Bill Act Presentation Discussion. Mayor Jensen has received a letter from Senator Sullivan offering to present information to the Assembly regarding H.R. 1, also known as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. The Assembly is asked to consider and discuss whether to accept Senator Sullivan's offer to present H.R. 1 at a future Assembly meeting.
I motion to...
Discussion.
Oh, it's just a discussion.
Discussion. Okay. So we, Member Lynn.
I don't think it's appropriate for us to accept this for a couple reasons. One is that if Senator Sullivan would really be better to talk to the community as a whole, because the community has much more input than we do on this. I'm not in favor of accepting this as presented.
Okay.
I feel just exactly the opposite of that. I think this is a perfect opportunity for him to make a presentation that is available to everybody that is listening, and I think it's a good venue for people to learn what it's all about.
Member Valentine.
I think that as the Assembly, it's is just the easiest way for it to get to the public, I think. And I think that it's always good to hear what our senator has to say, regardless of whether or not we agree or disagree. So I think that I'm for it.
Other comments? Member Schwartz?
Yeah, I agree with Newman and Valentine.
And I myself, I mean, these assembly meetings are open to the public. We encourage people to attend, to listen, and I think this would be an appropriate venue for that discussion to happen. We don't vote on this clerk regular, do we?
You can just direct the clerk to invite him to present at a future meeting, if that is what you would like. Please. Yes.
Thank you. All right, communications. Trust land office auction information. Mental Health has provided information regarding upcoming land auctions. The materials are attached to this packet. And assembly discussion items. Any assembly member comments?
After our discussion today on the EMS and that issue, is there, and the question, I guess, for the manager, is there any way that we could get an independent, somebody to discuss that with the assembly and, you know, anybody else that wants to listen in? Are they accurate? Are we hearing it correctly? You know, I don't have enough knowledge to be able to make any kind of a judgment call one way or another. Is there a possibility we could look into that, to do that at a future meeting, Steve?
Through the mayor, I have no idea. I didn't know if there's anybody like that out there. Just to be clear, the assembly's already voted to approve this.
Right.
So before you send me off to spend money, you should probably, you might consider a revote on that, or, you know, so that title knows what their time frame looks like. And I don't know how they'll respond to that. I mean, we can, I guess, Google search or ask some of these other communities to find out, you know, what if they came across somebody that actually vets these providers. I'm just not aware of any. I mean, we can look for it.
I'm not sure.
I believe, if I was reading the article correctly, Sitka did a pretty good, like, analysis. And in that article, they reference all their stuff, so might be worth going into. I didn't get to dive that deep, but
I dived into it, but I lost. You're thinking maybe somebody from Sitka on the line might be able to,
A
discussion, mm-hmm. might be able to help.
There's more people there. There's somebody that may have done more their research there.
Yeah.
So essentially, we've approved you to deal to, was it a direct sale negotiation with them? I can't remember.
Yeah, through the mayor. You've approved their application moving forward.
Correct.
I can't negotiate with them until a bunch of things happen, including the land being subdivided and there being, a meeting at PNC to, you know, kind of go through that application process. So I have not met with them for pricing because they've got several steps they have to do that are still in the works. But yes, the assembly told me to arrange a direct sale with them, and I'll do that unless something changes once they've gone through the whole process, which is still a ways off.
So then it goes to planning commission and then it comes back to us. But in light of a fair amount of public opposition, you're saying that we could have a revote on that. Did I hear you correctly?
I would have to get the attorney involved to make sure that we do it the right way. But yes, you have the right to put it back on an agenda and revote it. I don't know how soon and how much notice you have to give to the folks at Tlingit and Haida. But we can make that happen. I mean, sounds like there's interest by the assembly to reconsider your vote.
Well, I, Just one comment.
But you can't vote on it here. That's my point. So.
Right. But we can make a, you know, we can not make a motion, but, you know, get it on the agenda for a revote in the future.
All it takes is one of you, through the mayor, I'm sorry, would be to notify the clerk that any one of you can put it back on an agenda. So you just have to do that, and it would show up on a future meeting.
So I think, I feel like this is something we need to reconsider. I think, I don't think there was enough public input prior to our passing it or directing you. But I think with like some of the comments that people have made about, is there another location that would be better, alleviate the, you know, the social concerns for health safety, but at the same time being able to provide the service. So I just feel like maybe there's, we need to reconsider it, and maybe there's a better alternative.
Berlin.
I guess I'm not ready to, I don't know whether I want to reconsider it or not. I don't know enough about, you know, I'll go back to what Member Valentine said, is it would be really good to hear somebody, you know, who's already gone through this, you know, from SICA, if they, what the concerns were and so forth. That would be, to me, worthwhile before I'm willing to say yay, nay on reconsideration. But I need more information for what I'm trying to get at.
So you're basically saying, like, we need to table the decision. Well, if we get on the on a future agenda, then it would give us time to do more homework on it and more, yeah.
Yeah, and it's going to be a while to go through. What are we looking at, Steve? A couple months to...
Yeah, I think the Planning Commission will be reviewing it first, and then it will be on a future assembly. I can look into it and get the dates for you as well.
Any other questions or discussion items? Okay. Then any recognitions? Member Valentine.
I'm big into sports in the schools because I'm a part of it a lot. So congratulations to the state championship cross country team coached by Gates, Coach Casey Gates and his assistant. I forget his name and his wife. But anyhow, awesome on that. And also thanks to everybody who ran for assembly and all the boards and everything like that. It's like, it's cool to see that there are people that care enough about the town that are willing to go out of their way to put themselves into the political role, you know, trying to sit up here. It's not easy. It's not always fun, but it is cool to see that there are people that still feel the need to volunteer their time part of this. So thanks to everybody who ran, and go out and vote, and we will see. Thanks.
Hey, Member Schwartz.
Yes, I think it was a year or two ago I said that we're the family that doesn't need the hospital until we need it. Well, about 10 days ago, we needed it. And I wanted to just recognize Dr. Hulebeck, Lauren Thane, also known as Lauren Briner, and Elizabeth Abbott, Elizabeth Hart. And they helped us through a really tough day and then getting medevaced out. So just throwing some recognition their way and a sincere thank you. So that's all I had, and thank you.
No further comments. Could I get a motion to adjourn?
Moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.